I welcome all of you in the name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's my joy and honor to address you on the subject on homilies, and we will be looking into the second lesson on the same. Now, when we consider preacher, we need to understand his call and qualifications. Character before career. We cannot divorce the preacher from his preaching. Preaching is proclaiming the truth through personality. It is said that the man in his message, the preacher in his proclamation, the speaker is his sermon. Paul reminded Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Preserve in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. 1 Timothy 4:16. Behind the act of preaching, there lies conviction about the call and qualification to preach. The blessing and call of God in a preacher's life give him boldness and authority in his proclamation. There is no requirement more essential for the preacher than the spiritual requirements. His call. Throughout the biblical history, God called and commissioned the prophets and apostles. Christian ministry is God ordained. God's call and blessing make the foundation for the ministerial task. The call of God is experienced usually through a growing conviction based on scriptural principles. Examples in God's words verify it. In addition, the assurance of the call may be experienced through the effectiveness of our ministry, counsel of mature believers, and sometimes leading of the circumstances. Maybe the divine ordering of God's providences. The call is confirmed and communicated to the soul by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in different ways with the different people, but the leading of the Holy Spirit in the matter of the call is of paramount importance. It is the most important thing in determining God's call. It takes time and discipline to ascertain God's will in the matter of God's call. To ascertain and sense this with the confidence, one must bring his life into conformity to God's principles. The mind must be renewed day by day. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. Now, the call to Christian service, whether it is preaching or other ministries, can come only from God through His Holy Spirit. His word gives principles and examples. Moses, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Paul, and others. One can also recall hundreds of examples in the history of missions. Many of us have experienced God's call and can testify to it. The call to Christian service should be confirmed by the local church of which the individual is a member. The method and process of confirmation may vary, but there should be some kind of confirmation. This principle is prominent in the New Testament, Acts 13:2, 16:2. Those who are not called to a full-time ministry also may preach and teach the word of God. But he also must know that God has called him to preach, teach his word, and that has equipped him with the necessity, ability, I mean spiritual gift, to effective function in his role. He cannot exempt himself from an earnest study and thorough preparation for his pulpit ministry. No preacher ought to be without the divine assurance and confirmation of his call to preach the word. The preacher's call is always personal, definite, and the inward urge and confirmation of the Holy Spirit, with the result in blessing in ministry and confirmed by the local church. His qualifications. The most essential requirements of an expositor is his spiritual qualifications. It is the spiritual element that is of utmost importance in his life and ministry. We will be looking into the spiritual qualifications. Number one, the expositor as a regenerated believer. Two, the expositor as spirit-filled and spirit-taught. Three, the expositor as divinely called and commissioned. Four, he is a man of exemplary Christian character. Five, he is a man of prayer. Six, the expositor as a student of the word. Seven, the expositor as a man of spiritual gift. Outlines certain qualifications, or seven qualifications of a preacher. He must be regenerated. Two, he must love the Lord Jesus. Three, he must love souls. Four, he must be a student of the Bible. Five, he must be a man of prayer. Six, he must be clean in life. Seven, he must be fit for the work. I mean spiritually, physically, mentally, and educationally. All the above qualifications can be summarized in five essential requirements. One, a man of God. Two, a man of the word. Three, a man of character. Four, a man of prayer. Five, a man of ability. These are the essential qualifications of a preacher. Preaching is not merely a profession or a means of livelihood. It is a divine calling, a holy responsibility. He must be called and commissioned by God. He must study the word of God diligently and systematically. His moral character must be exemplary, a man of good testimony and report. He must renew his strength, Isaiah 40 verse 31, in preaching by prayer and waiting upon the Lord. A prayerless ministry is both powerless and profitless. He must be spirit-filled and have the divine boastment or spiritual gift or gifts for the ministry. Expository preaching demands the very best in a person. He must be thoroughly fit for this great work. Divine call and commission to preach deserves our best in character, study, preparation, and commitment. Now, when we look at the preparation process, habitually to come into the pulpit unprepared is unpardonable prescription. It is said by C.H. Spurgeon. Preparation is indispensable in expository preaching. Great preachers have always felt the கம்பல்லிங் நீட் ஃபார் கான்ஷியஸ்னஸ் ப்ரிப்ரேஷன். வித்தவுட் ஆடிக்வேட் ப்ரிப்ரேஷன் தெர் இஸ் நோ குட் ப்ரீச்சிங். அனலைசிஸ் எக்ஸஜீசஸ் இன்டர்பிரேஷன் அவுட்லைனிங் அண்ட் இலுஸ்ட்ரேஷன் ஆர் ஆல் கம்பைன்ட் இன் எக்ஸ்போசிஷனல் ப்ரீச்சிங். தரோ ப்ரிப்ரேஷன் இஸ் நீடட் இன் ஆல் தீஸ் ஏரியாஸ். The how of preparation is a very subjective process. Every preacher has to work out his own method of preparation. There is no prescribed one-way method. Nevertheless, we will break into some guidelines for sermon preparation that is common and practical. We can identify at least 6 stages in the preparation of expository sermons. Number 1, select the text. Any part of the Bible selected for an expository sermon is called the text. It may be one verse, a short paragraph, a lengthy narrative, a complete section, or an entire chapter. Vital guidelines governing the selection of text. The time allowed for the sermon must be first considered in selecting a text. Can this text passage be preached within the given time? Choose a text from where you have learned some spiritual lessons in your own life. The text must be personally appealing to the preacher. Recognize the leading of the Holy Spirit in selecting the text. The text should express a complete thought. Limitations of a preacher's capacities should be kept in mind. The text should be selected with one's audience in mind. Text may be selected according to the events and seasons in the church calendar. The text may be determined in the light of the major events that are happening in our nation or in the world. The text helps us to focus our attention on the Word of God. It gives authority to our message and makes our preaching biblical preaching. 2. Study the text. Fruitful study of text demands quality time and a great effort. In the study of the text, the expositor seeks or rightly divide the word. Guidelines governing the study of the text. Begin the study with a prayerful meditation. Read the text several times, preferably in 2 or 3 good translations. Apply the 3 basic principles of Bible study: observation, interpretation, and application. Determine the meaning of the text in its context through proper exegesis. This may require some exegetical tools: original language, grammar, concordance, commentary, etc. Determine the central idea. Analyze the structure of the passage. Use of language tools and the message can be helpful here. Put together an exegetical outline that will highlight the overall structure and organization of the passage. All through the study process, pray for illumination and discernment. 3. Focus on the big idea. The big idea is the dominant thought. The central idea or proposition of the text. Guidelines for governing the big idea. A good expository sermon embodies a big idea, which is the single all-encompassing concept of the sermon. Ideally, each sermon is the explanation, interpretation, or application of a single dominant idea supported by other ideas all drawn from one passage or several passages of scripture. There are two essential elements in the statement of an idea. Number one, subject. Number two, complement. The big idea is the most striking truth in the text. It is the heart of the text. It is the major truth the preacher proposes to expound in his sermon. Ask the question, what is its thrust? Write out the big idea in your own words in a full sentence. Remember that through careful reading, study and meditation of the passage, the big idea will disclose itself. 4. Decide the purpose of the sermon. The purpose of the sermon controls our further preparation and delivery of the sermon. Now, at this point of the expositor already knows his text. He has studied and analyzed it, and he has to isolate the big idea. The next step is to find out and articulate the purpose in clear terms. This is sometimes called the purpose bridge or the brain of the sermon. Guidelines governing the purpose. Purpose is the key link from text to sermon. On the basis of the big idea, what does God want my audience to know and obey as a result of hearing this message? The answer to this question is the purpose of the sermon. To formulate an effective purpose, the expositor should know the needs and the condition of the audience. The sermon's purpose should be compatible within the purpose of the text. The purpose of the sermon stems from the homiletical idea. The purpose must be legitimately drawn from the text. 5. Outline of the sermon. Outlining the sermon is an important part of structuring the sermon. Now, guidelines for governing outlining. It helps the expositor to give proper attention to the major affirmations of the biblical text. It keeps our attention focused on the passage. The outline organizes our thoughts into a definite structure, making it more communicable. Sermon outline should serve the dominant thought or big idea. The outline is the blueprint of the sermon. An outline serves at least four purposes. First, it clarifies in the speaker's eye and mind the relationship between the parts of the sermon. Second, the speaker views his sermon as a whole and thereby highlights his sense of unity. An outline also criticizes the order of ideas so that the listener will be given them in the appropriate sequence. Finally, the preacher recognizes the place of the outline, requiring additional supporting material to develop his points. Outline consists of the three main parts or divisions of a sermon: introduction, body or discussion, and the conclusion. In outlining, we are dealing with the body structure. Outline will be main points and subpoints. Subpoints are secondary points, elaborate the main points. The outline always helps to present the truth systematically. The outline is not an objective in itself, but is just an add to the objective, which is to present the teaching of the passage in relation to the subject. The outline must always be used from the passage in hand. Remember that a good outline is a section of the sermon. The outline should exhibit unity, order, and a process. The sermon outline is based on the major divisions of the exegetical outline. Originally, it is most desirable in outlining you may study or look into some model outlines, but try to compose your own outline. Point 6. Add the introduction and a conclusion. In the total design structure of the sermon, introduction, body, and conclusion, we have already worked out on the body. Now we need to top and tail the body with a proper introduction and a conclusion. Thank you. We will meet in the next class.